ways I can run in here, and we'll put this machine on my stuff here.
And it works.
My subject tonight is about prayers. I thank Jason for the good prayer which he has led tonight, because it sets a stage for the topics here. God always answers prayers. We pray many times, many ways. Sometimes we don't pray right. Sometimes we ask amiss. But he always answers the prayers. The difficulty often comes for us when we have a disappointment because he doesn't answer the prayers the way we really want him to answer the prayers. In certain cases, it can weaken our faith if we don't get what we hoped for. This can be even something justified, like you don't want your wife to die because they have cancer. And yet that can be a strengthening thing. We don't know why these things happen sometimes on the other part. But if God is real, if God loves us, we should always receive the answer that we want from our prayers, people would think. God always hears us and answers our prayers. He actually gives us, in a summary, three answers. Yes, no, or wait. We can consider what the scriptures say when God answers prayer. We're instructed to pray and we're taught how to pray. Jesus modeled prayer. We came across that recently when we were going over Matthew, the 6th chapter. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's not about us. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Verse 14 to 15 of the same chapter. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. We're instructed to pray that God's will be done, not our will. God's will for us is always our best good. Even if we cannot see it at the time, this is because there are a lot of factors that God knows about that we don't even have an inkling of an idea about. He is all-knowing. We're just not all-knowing. James 4, verses 13 to 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this and do that. So Jesus, our Son of God, is an example of the righteous man praying and being told no. Even Jesus was being told no by his Father. Hebrews chapter 5, consider verses 7 through 9. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, some people might say, wait a minute, why is Jesus being made perfect? I thought he was perfect. Actually, that word means he's being completed in all ways, like as we are, but he was completed without sin. We also read in Matthew the 26th chapter, I'm not going to read that part, but if you want to turn to it sometime yourself, verses 36 through 48, Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in deep anguish. Luke repeats the same thing where he's praying there, praying that this would be taken from him. In God's word, we are told whose prayers are heard and whose prayers are not heard. Whose prayers are heard? The prayers of the righteous men. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 12 and 10 through 12. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In James, the 5th chapter, verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to turn to chapter 5, about verses 14 to 18. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. That's where we hear the phrase, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. A little side note here. Michael had a talk once about a lot of the problems of the world today is that we don't have gratitude. This is another thing where if you pray without ceasing, giving thanks in everything, that is a form of having gratitude for others. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Psalms 34, verse 17. In Proverbs 15th chapter, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Whose prayers are hindered? The prayers of the unrighteous man, just as we saw the converse of what was in those scriptures. James is a good book for this. In chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive. This is, again, the part where people get no to the answers. Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. God, give me a new car. Give me a new house. Help me to pay for this, that, or the other. I really would like to do so-and-so or have so-and-so. Would you please help me to God to have this happen? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In Proverbs, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Again, three things. God says yes. God gives one of three answers to our prayers. Just to summarize it, we could say that it's a mixture of those three things, but we'll stay with the three for the moment. Yes, humbly praying for our petitions, if it is God's will, allows God to give us his answer, knowing we will trust his answer for our good. We won't get discouraged if the answer is no. So he can give us a yes when it is good for us and for all concerned. That would be wait. Another yes. Here's some prayers which God has answered yes in the Bible. Note the humility with which these godly men and women prayed. Hannah was granted her humble prayer for a child in 1 Samuel, 1 chapter 1 through 18. Judah was saved when Hezekiah humbly prayed for Judah's salvation from Sennacherib's host of warriors, Isaiah, the 37th chapter. Verse 38 verses. Daniel humbly prayed before interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream and was granted the interpretation which saved his life and the life of the otherwise men That's from Daniel, the second chapter, which we just studied not long ago, especially verses 16 through 24, if you're one to make notes about that. We receive forgiveness for sins when we repent of them and humbly ask forgiveness. We receive a yes answer for our prayers. 1 John, first chapter, verses 8 through 10, and particularly verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Acts the 8th chapter. Simon the sorcerer begs for prayer on his behalf and for forgiveness. When he was asking the wrong things of the people, he wasn't praying the wrong things, but he was asking the wrong things. Give me these powers that I can have my own special following. I guess he liked being on a stage. We humbly pray for wisdom. Without God, without doubting God, we have the promise of receiving wisdom. We receive a yes answer to our prayers for wisdom when we do not doubt God. A man who doubts God, doubts the Lord, will receive nothing from the Lord, as in James, the first chapter. Again, verses 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In Bible examples of note. It does not mean that God does not love you. No means the best answer for the good of your soul, and in some cases the good of those around you, would be for you not to get the answer of yes. For instance, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22nd chapter, verse 41 to 44, let this cup pass, your will be done. If Jesus had have had his answer, the cup pass, we would have a different plan of salvation. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. Again, that's where he was saying that Hebrews writer is reporting how Jesus was vehemently with prayers, vehemently with tears, saying the prayer. Moses could not go to the promised land. Remember when he disobeyed by striking the rock instead of speaking to it? Numbers, the 20th chapter, verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I had given them. Sometimes we forget the fact that in Deuteronomy it reports, chapter 3, verse 23 through 28, Moses is writing, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, whose pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak to me no more on this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah, which is a mountain, and lift your eyes to the west, the north, the south, the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. We know King David prayed for the life of his child after his sin with Bathsheba. That would be the chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. Paul had to continue enduring a thorn in the flesh. He was told, my grace is sufficient for you. That would be from 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, 7 through 10. There's many people we've seen on earth here that have received the answer no when it seemed that was best thing for them or for others that they could influence. We may not understand the answer no while we live on this earth, but we learn to trust that God's will is best for us and all concerned. We trust that God will reveal all we need to know in his time. Physical, mental, emotional trials, the loss of loved ones. I think of the wife of the elder, Shannon Pratmont, who died of cancer. But there's other people, and it's interesting, and we got a report back from Michael Ajay, that when there was a lot of people that were touched when her son was able to preach a sermon about the good that her death had done in bringing the hearts of other people to care for her. So does your example of how you respond to your prayers encourage others to follow God? Do you see your trust and love for God in spite of trials, grief, and pain, and want to have a peace that you have? Or will your example of mistrust towards God cause others to dismiss any faith in God and die eternally? Will many souls be saved because of your love of God? Or will many souls be lost because of your lack of faith and trust in God's wisdom? The answer no tests us to do good. There are times when the answer is no because God has something better in mind for us, and that gets into the category of wait. If it's no, will we still trust God? Will we glorify God and praise Him and serve Him no matter what? I've already incorporated wait. I have another page about some other scriptures where Abraham and Sarah had to wait. Isaac waited for it and prayed for his wife Rebekah. Jacob and Rachel waited and prayed. Joseph was sold into slavery at age 17. And he had to wait until he became the leader and second in charge of the land of Egypt. Let's see. 49 when he saw his father again. When he was in slavery, he went from age 17 to 49. I haven't done math on that. The Israelites were in Egypt for over 400 years, but they grew. They became strong. The Jews had set up prayers for the promised Savior for hundreds of years, but after 400 years of silence, the Savior was born, as we just finished our study here in this book that we've got. The old prophets and prophetess in the temple waited all their lives to see the Savior, which we read about in Luke, the second chapter. Simeon waited on the Lord. Anna waited on the Lord. In the book of Revelation, souls are under the throne. In the book of Revelation, slain for the word of God and the testimony they held, cried out, "How long, O Lord, how long?" until their deaths by the hands of unbelievers provoked by Satan would be avenged. Revelation 6, chapter 7 through 11. So, like the apostles, like Paul, we can learn to glorify God in whatever state we are and whatever God in His wisdom chooses to do with the answer to our prayers. Let's close with the book of Philippians, 4th chapter, verses 11 to 13. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Tonight, are you in a position to be strengthened by Christ? Have you been obedient to His word? You have been hearing the good news of God tonight in the lessons we've been studying, how Jesus died for you. Hopefully through these scriptures you have come to believe and or better understand His wisdom when He says yes or no or wait. Have you confessed your belief in Him as we read in Acts the 8th chapter and Romans the 10th chapter? And the next step about being baptized, especially in Acts 22nd chapter, some people say, in Acts 9, where we're first hearing about his conversion, some people think that when Ananias comes and calls him brother, that he's already been saved. And that baptism is just something to be done just because. But in the 22nd chapter of Acts, when he's standing up on the stairs guarded by the Roman soldiers, and the people are down below him. He stands up there and he states, and he would not spend time to make up a story, but there again, when he refers to it, he talks about Ananias calling him brother. But think, Ananias was a Jew, he was a Jew, and the Jews often referred to each other as brothers. And then he says, Ananias says to him, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If he was already a brother in Christ, why would he have sins? So that to me proves that baptism follows your confession and your belief in God. And then just like all these other scriptures that we've gone over tonight, following that, you're not alone. You're with everyone else here ready to help you to have a great life wherever you go. So at this time, let us stand and sing. And if you want to come forward, please come forward. This is a good night to be baptized as well as any other.